Hello and welcome to a three inning save podcast, Oscar edition. We're recording this at the very tail end of the Oscars going on. There is an Oscar slight theme to the questions from Craig coming up, and I'm trying to think of a funny way to transition to this week's spring training, and I got nothing, but maybe you do, Eric.
Teoscar goes to the Dodgers.
For excellent performance in spring training. Maybe right. Some of the time. So you'll catch you up on the week ahead. We're really, really close to both forms of opening day, both domestic and abroad. Oh, yeah.
No, I was just saying, we got two opening days. This is going to be some real stuff going on here.
And we'll be back with all that after this.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
So when we left, we said the position player names were set in stone. We never said anything about where they'll be playing.
That's right. They're more like set in wet cement, where there's still a little bit of time to move around before it like completely dries. So that's where the Dodgers are at right now. It's weird, man. Like, so we're just ripping the Band-Aid off. Mookie Betts is the Dodgers shortstop now. Mookie Betts, you know, 6-time Gold Glover in right field. First few years in L.A., when he'd play second occasionally, it felt like an indulgence, right? Like, oh, you know, he was drafted as an infielder. He wants to play infield. That's cool. But, like, he can't really play. And then, like, last year, out of necessity, because Miguel Vargas struggled and was sent down at the All-Star break, he started playing in the infield before that because other guys were hurt. And then it's like, oh, he's actually kind of good at second base. And then also, they have Jason Hayward, who's really good in right field. So, like, it was a weird platoon thing where Mookie Betts was starting against right-handed – or against when lefties were on the mound, or excuse me, when righties were on the mound, Hayward was in right, Betts was at second, and then when lefties were on the mound, Betts was in right field. Off season, they go Mookie Betts is the second baseman now every day, but you know, every day to a point, like I would imagine, even had that continued as a plan, there would be times where he like still, like after other shifts, like would go to right field in games. That just happens, right? Like, but for the most part, he's second baseman, and then now he's the shortstop. So the reason for this is because Gavin Lux has not looked good so far fielding at shortstop. So he's, you know, it was always like a risk going into last year. You know, when Corey Seager left as a free agent, you know, the Dodgers like weren't like really in that market. Also, he got like $325 million from the Rangers, but they also had Trey Turner for one more year. Then they didn't make Trey Turner an offer in free agency that offseason, because they figured, well, we have Gavin Lux, who was drafted as a shortstop. He played mostly shortstop in the minors, struggled there a little in the majors when he had to fill in, but he's a natural shortstop, all this kind of stuff. So that was a risk, but then any sort of like trepidation over that last year like immediately went away, because like his third spring game he blew out his knee, so he's done for the year. So then it became a scramble, which led to like Mookie Betts sort of moving into the end. He even played a little bit of shortstop last year. He started 12 times, played 16 games there, but it was more so-so there. But anyway, so it's back to the same sort of risk level this year. Gavin Lux, they like his bat. He's like, I would say, maybe slightly above average as a hitter, or he was in 2022. And then he was pretty good at second base, like fine. But then it was a matter of like, how is he going to like hold up at short? But is he going to be? He's probably going to be good enough to where having that bat at that position is probably worth it. But then like the spring games, look, his first few games were at DH, getting back in the swing, I think, because he missed a year. Then he played 6 games at short. I totaled up. It's 31 defensive innings, right? You would think, are they really judging it on these innings? But I mean, yes and no. Like they kind of figure, I think they know what they have, right? But he was very bad. Like I went through the game log. So he had 12 like fielding chances, eight throws. 2 of them got to Freddie Freeman on the fly. This is from shortstop. There were bounces. There were wide throws. There were some that were wide and bounced. There was a one where he like two-stepped and then bounced it from short, and I think it was called a base hit. Freddie Freeman dug out a few of these. He got charged with 2 errors, but he probably could have had 5 maybe. And he was just generally very bad. It was like this flashing neon sign that says like, oh my God, we have to fix this. Right. And so, you know, Miguel Rojas is the sort of in-house, really good defensive shortstop, not so much as a hitter, but you would take that, like you would figure if any lineup can sort of withstand like regular doses of Miguel Rojas, it's probably this Dodgers lineup. Especially with what the defense would provide you, because you're also like Max Muncy's not the best at third. You know, he was below average last year. He's probably a little better than that. Mookie Betts at second was fine, but also it is a relatively new position for him. So like it would be nice to sort of have a really nice fielder there. Like you take all warts and all. But so what they're doing now is they said we're going to have Mookie Betts at short and Gavin Lux back to second. They're going to also, I would say, Dave Roberts said this, they're not going to platoon, but like Mookie's also going to play second a little bit when like, they're not going to straight platoon Lux. They're not going to sit him against every lefty, but I would imagine Miguel Rojas is going to see a lot of time against lefties, and then Betts would be at second in those games. They like Lux's bat still and are sort of... hoping that it sort of works out at second. So the funniest part about this to me was when the day it was announced, I guess this was Friday because it sort of came to a head Wednesday. I guess they had meetings about it Thursday, and then it was announced Friday that Mookie Betts is a shortstop. But they asked Dave Robertson, he said it was permanent for now, which is a hilarious quote. But like, it really shows like, I don't know how long it's going to happen. It's going to like hold, but you would think like at some point they're either going to go back to Miguel Rojas or, eventually trade for a shortstop. Like Bill Plaschke had a column like sort of, lambasting the move. It's more like, why are you using Mookie like to cover up all your shortcomings type of thing? Like, which is fair, right? Like it's weird that he's moving. Now I will say this, Mookie Betts has his own, like, I guess it's also a podcast, but it's for Bleacher Report, like, Walk Off or whatever it's called. He interviewed Dansby Swanson on, Saturday night. And I saw a clip of that put out and he was talking about like, how shortstop is like the position, and it's been his dream to play this. And I'm like, okay, the worry was, and I think, I don't know if it was implied in Plaschke's column or that doesn't really matter, but you would think like, are you putting too much on Mookie's plate, right? You don't want to distract him. You don't want to like do this. That interview sounded like a man who has been waiting for this moment his whole life. Like, honestly, like I don't mean to like undersell or oversell it, but like, it was just like, he is, I think he's fine. with playing shortstop. And like, I don't think they would have made this move without Mookie being on board. But also, I think it's sort of also a mini vote of confidence in Gavin Lux, because you could just as easily have said, like, hey, man, we're going to work on this throws thing, but why don't you just sit back for a while and, you know, stay back in extended spring training. We'll option you or something at the beginning of the year, and then we'll figure it out. But they're like, nope, you're still playing because we still like you. And he's been hitting fine. And then, you know, just hope. And also, I think part of the thing is, Dave Roberts has talked about this a little bit, I believe. They think a lot of it's mental. Like, no one ever wants to say the word yips, but like, it's essentially that. And I think that's, you know, fixable, right? Like, so I don't think it's like a death knell on Gavin Lux at shortstop, but like, they're clearly not comfortable with him there now. And I think they just want to get like Lux's, you know, confidence back in some regard. Now, Lux was also a bit shaky. He played second on Friday. He had a couple shaky throws in that too. But then on Saturday, he actually there was quite a few defensive plays, and he looked much more comfortable. So, I actually am not that worried about him at second. But it seemed most of the stuff revolved around his throwing. And so it's just going to be something to watch. But it's just odd. You know, that's all.
Yeah.
It was a big thing to happen this week. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Well, there's some other news, I think none of which is like Emmett Sheehan's going to start on the IL. I don't think that's shocking news considering where things were.
Yeah, he hadn't pitched in a game. He was shut down earlier in camp. Like, I think he faced, so it wasn't one of, he didn't throw to Ohtani for live BP. I went back and looked at some, you know, old like coverage of it and then saw some pictures. I guess in one of Emmett Sheehan's early bullpens, Ohtani like stood in to like track pitches. And I think, maybe it was Bill Plunkett that had this. But I think Sheehan himself like said maybe a week later that he probably got amped up a little bit too much to face Ohtani. But he had, it was like shoulder soreness. But Sheehan just restarted a throwing program like last week. So it's just that he's like behind right now. He just has to build up again, which is that. So he's not necessarily dealing with something. I mean, he's going to be on the injured list, so he is. But it's something that's like, you know, he's sort of, I don't want to say past it, but like he's in this stage where he's like starting to build up now. I believe he's going to throw like a bullpen session in the coming days. So like, but you're looking start of the season, just not going to be ready. So, but yeah, like you said, that was expected. The other one that maybe was less expected, or I guess, I don't know, Bruiser Gratterall he had pitched only once in the spring so far. And it turns out he had both hip tightness and shoulder soreness. I think the hip was the more concerning thing, at least early on. He said on Sunday, told reporters that he is not going to be going to South Korea because he's going to stay back and sort of get ready, and in the hopes of being ready for the domestic opening day, which is March 28th. So we're recording on the 10th, so that's 2.5 weeks from now. And then the first game in Seoul is 10 days from now, or I guess when you're hearing this, 9 days from now, because it's 3 a.m., those first two games. It's going to be weird. And then the other thing, pitcher-wise, Blake Treinen, who is by all accounts had looked pretty good, and was on track to sort of, you know, just hasn't really pitched the last few years because of shoulder stuff. But he's looked fine. But then he got hit by a line drive on Saturday, right in the ribs. And, so they called it a rib contusion Saturday, but then he went for x-rays and a CT scan, and that came back. And so it was being framed as good news. They said he doesn't have any broken ribs, but he just has a bruised lung. And like, how is that the good news? Look, of this? Like,
the only bleeding is internal. Okay. It's
yeah, right.
Fine.
Yeah. All it does is hurt to breathe. No, I don't know. Like, but apparently, so the next step for him, he's iffy for going to South Korea now, which makes complete sense. Bruised lung. But I guess he's going to throw a bullpen session Wednesday, which is the final day of camp in Arizona, and that's going to probably be like a, you know, a check-in time. If I had to guess right now, I would say he's probably not going to go to South Korea. They're probably just going to be cautious with that. We could talk roster stuff in a minute, but like, I am genuinely curious about how some of this is going to go down roster wise, right? You have Gratterall. I'm assuming like, if they think he's going to be healthy enough to be ready on the 28th, like he's not going on the IL before the Korea series. And I would say it might be the same issue for Trinan. So you already have like two of the sort of extra guys, you know, that aren't going to be active in Korea, but like also aren't on the IL. So like, I don't know how much more flexibility they will want or need, but I think that's going to be an interesting thing to how they sort of maneuver all of that. The other, I guess, thing, if you're looking at like non-roster folks, Daniel Hudson, I think Dave Roberts earlier this week said Hudson is going to be on our roster. Hudson's a non-roster invitee. Obviously he's with the Dodgers the last 2 years, but he had the two major knee injuries. He's back and healthy from that right now. There's been like some issues with like, you know, probably not executing exactly like he wants right now, but he looks pretty good. Like he struck out both batters he faced on Saturday. Now they've also like, while Robert said that, they've been like non-committal about like exactly when he's going to be on the roster. So he's also like maybe a South Korea, maybe, although I think on Sunday morning, if I read this right, I think Roberts mentioned Hudson as a possible, like, not, I don't want to say replacement, but like when they were talking about Gratterall not being ready for South Korea, they're like, I think Roberts mentioned, well, Hudson might be. So I think that's there, but he's also like, you know, maybe the 28th instead. The other one, in terms of non-roster pitcher, Justin Wilson has looked pretty good. I think he struck out 10 of 18 batters faced so far. He's a lefty. And they only have right now on the 40-man, Alex Vesia and Ryan Yarbrough as in terms of left-handed relievers. And Yarbrough is more of a swing man. So if they say we want to have an extra reliever or extra lefty, you know, like a second lefty like we normally have, you know, they'd probably add Wilson. But it's one of those things where adding Wilson or Hudson requires a 40-man move. And they're out of injured guys to put on the 60-day IL for now. So it would require a corresponding move. So I think it's one of those things where maybe especially in the case of Wilson, because you can get by, I think, in the two games in South Korea with just the Vesia plus Yarbrough as the lefties. But maybe they wait to add Wilson till the 28th or so. And I don't know about Hudson, but like, that's just my sort of speculation on that. Yeah, I don't know. Have you been able to like watch any of the games
last week? During the day most of the time. And like a lot of time, if I'm not super busy with work, that's actually perfect. I can just put it on the background, but I have been super busy with work and it's not been appropriate, professionally appropriate, they'd say. But now I'm looking forward to especially this upcoming week. I think things are a little chiller. It's like I said, one of my favorite things to do is to put on a game that I don't really care that much about, but still kind of want to kind of eye.
It's perfect background noise.
Yeah, no,
even if it's on mute, like just background like scenery, I guess.
Or just I think low volume. You get a lot of kind of baseball zen, just the kind of sounds in the crowd. Yeah, it'll be.
I will say too, this week for you, like they had night games, like three night games, but the last two of them they got rained out, like early-ish in the game. So it was like, you know, any hope of like, oh, I'm just gonna sit down and watch this night game. It's like, no, it turns out the rains came. So
yeah.
It was a little weird. So I wanna I mentioned they're out of sort of injured players to put on the 60-day. That was because early last week, on last Monday, they put Clayton Kershaw on the 60-day injured list, which was expected. He's not going to, you know, be ready until July or August. But they did that because they traded for Andre Lipschitz from the Tigers. He's an infielder, mostly third base, second base, some first base. He mixed in left field last year too. I think he made his debut last year with the Tigers, played very sparingly, but he's been in AAA. The Tigers designated him for assignment. That's why he was available, and the Dodgers traded for him for cash. He majored in nuclear engineering at Tennessee, by the way. So that to get him on the 40-man, they put Kershaw on the 60-day. Now, Lipschitz was one of the players optioned. The Dodgers have made roster cuts the last two Sundays. They sent 10 more people to camp. No one really surprising, but Lipschitz was one, which puts the 40-man position player group back down to 14, which is what it was at the end of last week, which I believe we talked about, where I think Miguel Vargas is going to be active for the Korea series probably because they're going to have, like, I'm assuming – the starting pitchers who aren't going to be pitching in South Korea are not going to be active for those games, or at least some of them aren't. So I think they're going to have an extra position player, and it's going to be Vargas. That's my guess. But then Matt Gage was also option set Sunday. He was the other left-handed reliever on the 40-man. So that's one of those where, like, you know, that's what we're sort of talking about. What's really left for the roster decisions, because that's sort of where we're at. The other sort of option, if the Dodgers wanted to create space, they technically could. Nick Frasso is going to be out for the year after shoulder surgery. He also, I guess, had a hip procedure recently, like as part of that, or not part of that, but he's going to rehab that as well. But he's not going to pitch this year, maybe till the fall league. They already optioned him. They added him to the 40-man in November, like after he had the surgery. So they could call him up just to put him on the 60-day IL, but that would require, you know, paying him a major league salary, and he'd accrue like a full year of service time, or however long, depending on when they did it, like however long it is. So I don't think they're going to do that, like, necessarily, but I guess it depends. So, but just something to think about if we're talking about, like, if they want to add Hudson, if they want to add Hudson and Wilson, like, then it gets a little trickier. Like, I would imagine, like, you know, Gus Varland is probably near, like, the fringe there at the bottom of the 40-man as a possibility. But I think also you might want to give yourself, if that's what I'm thinking, maybe wait till the 28th for both of those non-roster guys. Because then you have like two more weeks to try to trade someone, you know, to clear spots. They've done a pretty good job of that. Like, this whole offseason has been so busy, but they've had to clear a lot of room. You know, when they signed like Shohei Ohtani and Joe Kelly, they traded Victor Gonzalez and Yorba Vivas to the Yankees. That cleared the two spots, but they got some minor leaguers back. They even got a minor leaguer back for Brian Hudson, who was DFA'd for Yamamoto. They got Trey Sweeney in that, first Yankees deal. And then they got Matt Gage in the deal where they sent Caleb Ferguson away. And then, so like, it's just, they've been like sort of adding like these ancillary players for when they're trying to clear 40 spots. So I think that's what they're probably going to try to do over the next couple weeks. But I think that's kind of where we're at in camp right now. Anything else on your mind? Because there's only three spring games left. It's weird.
That can't be right. You take that. What? You take that back.
Well, there's technically, like, you know, there's two more weeks of spring training, and the Dodgers do have three freeway series games once they're back from Korea. It's just gonna blow everyone.
Wait, it's only three.
Against the Angels, yeah.
Oh, how are they doing the home road split?
First two in LA, and then Anaheim for one.
Yeah, take that, Anaheim.
Yeah.
Did that come with the Shohei trade? They're like, all right, whoever gets them,
yes,
gets the extra home game.
That's right.
Not really. I'm just excited for, like, I think I like spring training. Spring training is weird in that, like, the nonsense stuff. And this is, I think that you mentioned, we in spring training, I want ties. I want players, right, I've never heard of. But then when it comes to players I have heard of, like Yamamoto, and they struggle, it's like, well, it's just spring training. But, yeah, you know, I don't care if it doesn't matter. I want to see him dominate and pitch extremely well and not have the sort of iffy results. So,
and yeah, you know, like you mentioned, so all pretty much all of the – I guess the regular, like, 13. Vargas has had a few games where he didn't start, but he also played.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much the other 13 position player roster people, and even if you count Manny Margot in Kike's space before that sort of swap happened, all their games are starts. But then nobody's on the position player side has played like a complete game yet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always like by like the middle of the game, it's basically a complete swap out, and it's mostly minor leaguers. And so that's created, you know, it's nice because if you want to see some prospects play and stuff like that, like Josue DiPaolo is one of their top prospects. He's still 18. He doesn't turn 19 until May. He hit an opposite field homer in one of the games. That was cool to see. But yeah, it's just weird stuff. But that does bring me to a trivia question for you, sir. Through Sunday, March 10th, not that that was a hint, that what I just talked about, not the date.
Yeah.
Which Dodger has played in the most Cactus League games this spring?
Would you, if I had said, I've watched every spring game twice, Eric, on repeat in slow-mo, would you have changed the trivia question last minute?
Nope. I would have said, you know what? You deserve this layup. You put in the time. You put in the work.
All right. I don't believe you. Yeah. But anyways, I'll try after this.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Which Dodger leads in games played this Cactus League? Games played. I don't think that matters this season. I'm kind of. Is it not a tie? Is there only one player that leads?
There is only one right
that's
now.
That's that's interesting.
Much like the Highlander, there can only. And you know, I'm looking at this. I'm thinking by the time they break camp, because it's very possible these guys could still mix in one of these games less. Well, so they're traveling to Goodyear. It's not a far bus ride, but. You could see a scenario where some of these guys near the top could add to games. But what I'm getting at is I believe this person who's leading is still going to be leading once camp breaks on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Because he only has a one-game lead right now, but we'll talk about that.
All right. You gave away a hint. It is a male.
Damn it.
And
it's also a Dodger.
And a human being. No. Right. What was the air but air? There was a baseball air bet. I'm trying to remember what the subtitle was.
Was it? I don't. Because golden receiver was it golden versus football? Yeah. Right? Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I am. Air Bud series. My guess is while I look this up is Chris Taylor.
No. So let me see here. Chris Taylor has okay, so he's played in 9 games. I'm actually gonna go to my I'm weird about spring training playing time in that I track it myself as well, just because I like to, especially for pitchers, I like to see who's pitched when and stuff, and I put it in like a table. But I also have the games that were washed out, like I don't think they're counting on this. So I just want to make sure. So technically, Chris Taylor has 9 games, but he really has 10. But I will tell you, that's his 9 games are 5 behind the leader.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Give me a hint and then I'll take one more stab.
This player topped out at Double A in 2023. He was undrafted, and I believe he was second in all of the minors in runs scored last year. Infielder, even I think he mixed in some outfield too. Started in Great Lakes, got promoted to Tulsa.
Uh huh. I got nothing.
He shares a first name with a Dodger catcher.
Will, what's a very common last name? Smith. How about Will Smith?
You know what? It's not Will Smith. It's Austin Gauthier. 15 games this spring. He did pretty well. He was one of the players who were reassigned to minor league camp on Sunday. They sent 10 players down. So he's played in 15 games. Drew Avens and Ryan Ward have played in 14 each. All three of those guys got sent down Sunday. Jose Ramos also got sent down. He's at 13. So did Trey Sweeney, also at 13. Kevin Padlow is at 13, but he's still in camp. So he could conceivably pass Gauthier the next 3 days. The top regular, as it were, it's Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Technically, they have 11 starts each, but they really started 12 games because they started one of the rainout games and didn't get credit for it. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Air Bud, 7th mm-hmm. inning fetch.
Oh my God, that's great! I love it.
You know what else you're gonna love? Cool. Speaking of baseball movies, it's time for
With Gene and Craig. We love them.
So real quick before I go to the questions, Craig, you just ended with do you know what was that dun 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 dun? Are you realizing that's Beethoven's 5th, and is that a Beethoven reference to the Beethoven dog movies?
No, it just was in my head.
Uh-huh,
I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Subconsciously you were making a movie dog movie pun.
They play that for strikeouts at Dodger Stadium. So maybe it's I blame Dieter Ruhle.
He incepted the Beethoven movies.
That's Charles Grodin.
A director.
You mean the dog Beethoven?
Yeah, I figured.
No, Charles Grodin, I believe, is the
and Bonnie Hunt, Oliver Platt, Stanley Tucci. Oh, man, what a cast! Anyways,
good Lord.
Out here in Hollywood, the town is abuzz with Academy Award fever. With that in mind, this week's trivia is about films involving baseball. In some ways, I expect you to go perfect, Eric.
Oh God. Okay.
3 baseball-related movies have been nominated for Best Picture. 2 were released during Jacob's lifetime, while the other features an all-time memorable moment in baseball history. Can Eric name these movies?
Okay, so Best Picture.
I will let you know I got this correct when playing by myself.
So I have a feeling I'm going to miss something obvious, but I don't like the fact that 3 of my answers are all reasonably close together in time, although one of them does predate you. So I'm just going to rip Band-Aid style, rip it off. A League of Their Own, Field of Dreams, and The Natural.
One of those is correct.
Ugh.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
One is by a good margin more recent.
Okay.
You could say 20 years-ish older. And then one is much older.
Okay. Is Damn Yankees the much older one?
Yankees is in the title. Pride of the Yankees is the name of the movie.
Oh, okay. With Gary Cooper. Yeah. Okay, so wait. So the new is the other one Sugar?
The other one is Moneyball.
I completely forgot that got nominated for Best Picture. That, I will say this: that had no business being a good movie. Like
it was
based, but it was very good. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it's like look at this extended Wall Street Journal article and make it a movie.
Yeah, yeah, and look, and it's hard to be like I hate being the nitpicky guy, but like. Okay, I need to make a trade. I'm going to fly to Cleveland to see the general manager because phones don't exist. Like, okay, whatever. Anyway.
Shoeless Joe Jackson was portrayed by two different actors in 8 Men Out and Field of Dreams. Can Eric name at least one of these actors?
Well, so Ray Liotta in Field of Dreams and John Cusack, right, in 8 Men Out?
D.B. Sweeney.
It is D.B. Sweeney. Dang it. He was on the cutting edge of my tongue, you could say.
Two baseball Hall of Famers portrayed themselves in the pride of the Yankees. Who are these real Lou Gehrig teammates?
Ludwig Gehrig. No, so Babe Ruth for sure was in it.
Correct.
Oh man. I'm trying to think here. Who else would have been in that? Okay, it's not. Is it Tony Lazzari?
Nope.
Is it Ty Cobb?
It is not.
Oh, God. Okay.
Ty Cobb wasn't a teammate, was he?
Did he? Wait, no, he just said Hall of Famers.
Who are these real Lou Gehrig teammates?
Come on. All right.
Then the question.
I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you expect me to.
You were too distracted by my. Portmanteauing of Lou Gehrig.
That's right. Okay, so another Yankee
Hall of Famer.
Why am I blanking on this? So Lazzari. Is it Lefty Grove?
It is Bill Dickey.
Bill Dickey, yeah. The late 30s right. teams.
Yeah, all I've right. got to boost your confidence. So here's a question. Can Eric name the 6 credited players on the Cleveland Indians team in Major League?
Wait.
He's looking for the character names, not the actors.
Got it.
If you can give me the actors, I'll give you a nice half point per.
Sure. Willie Mays Hayes by Wesley Snipes.
Correct.
Jake Taylor is Tom Berenger.
Yep.
Roger Dorn is Corbin Burnson.
Mm-hmm.
President David Palmer Pedro Serrano is
Sam. I'm not accepting President Palmer.
No, I know.
I thought you were about to move on, like wait.
I've talked myself into Dennis Haysbert is his name. I was like, what's his name? Okay. Is that 4?
Yeah, that's 4. You're missing 2.
Okay. Eddie Harris is the guy's name is really weird and I don't remember is Chance involved in there or Chase or something like that?
Yeah, you're dancing around it.
I don't think I'm going to get
his name. I mean you got the character. So Chelsea Ross. Yeah.
Chelsea Ross. With okay. I believe he also played Conrad Hilton in Mad Men. Okay, another player.
Ricky
Wild Thing Vaughn by Mr. Charlie Sheen.
Well done. See, I knew nice. I knew that. I think well designed by Craig to end on that one, so you would end happy as we
after my shame of
for the contest. Man. Pick the division winners in the National League and American League East. Any wild card teams, and if any of these teams will finish below 500.
It's too much right now.
Okay. You and I had the same reaction. Oh, man.
March 10th, man. We can't do this yet.
But we must. We must.
Must we? We could do it on a later episode.
We already did the Central.
Like, say, next week when there's no Dodger games to talk about outside of 3 from...
I mean, there's going to be... fun plane stories stuff, or something to talk
about. There's also a Saturday night game, the one normally timed game, although I believe it starts at 10 p.m. Saturday night your time.
It's going to be
the first exhibition in Korea.
It's a good night. It's a good game for fighting.
Oh.
This is all stall tactics. If anyone, sure. No one else has figured that out.
All right. So I don't have a pen and paper near us. So I'm just going to take some stupid notes. Okay. So let's go NL East first. Braves are clearly winning that. That's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Maybe the Phillies could surprise if the Braves have like an uncharacteristically bad year, but I'm not picking that to happen. So, but I will pick the Phillies to make the wild card. How about that?
Yeah. I think that's right. Wow. So there's, there's three wild cards. Wait, you picked one central wild card, right? You said the Cubs because you had the Cardinals winning the division.
Yeah.
And I had no central wild card, so I need to make up a wild card here. I also think the Phillies, though. I do not probably feel confident that there's going to be three NL West teams. Sorry, NL West folks. Although there's such a jumble of those. But also... the Marlins, I mean, obviously they made the playoffs, but I don't think they're that good. Where are the Mets at? And the Nationals suck. So, no, I'm just going to stick with...
The Mets are in New York.
Thank you. Flushing, some might say. Okay. So then we both agree on that. So, man, I'm going to have to come up with... which two NLS teams
I would
are
just
win
like to say I'm not holding myself to a coherent playoff picture. Yeah. I might pick four wild cards. I might pick two. I don't know.
we can pick win totals for every team, and it doesn't have to add up to a 500 record for everyone. This is what you're saying. I agree. Okay, so for the AL East, you got any ideas there?
Braves winning, Phillies wild card, Nationals will be the only team below 500 is what I have there.
Okay. I actually think, I think the Marlins are
AL East because they're all those teams are, well, four of them are pretty darn good.
So I think I'm saying that the Marlins will also.
Okay. Yeah. I will not say that. Oh. Yeah, either way, I'm not saying it. Marlins will be finished 500 on the dot. How about that?
Nice.
Boston's going to finish below 500.
Okay.
Who do I make the winner? Baltimore will win the division again.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto will be a wild card team. And... New York will be a wild card team. I'm going to hate myself for not picking Tampa Bay, but that's just what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So I think the Yankees are going to win the division. I think the Orioles and the Blue Jays are going to be the wild card. And I agree with you about Boston under 5.
Last season, 6 Dodgers combined to play 126 complete games at shortstop. What are your thoughts on the likelihood that this number is lower in 2024?
Lower than 6 players? Okay, so
I'm gonna say he means the number of complete games. So 126 is what he meant by lower.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on.
That's my assumption.
Yep. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, 126 complete games for sure lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like any time Miguel Rojas starts, he's getting pinch hit for at some point, right?
Like, and vice versa, anytime you have Mookie or Gavin Lux at shortstop, they're probably going to be looking for a defensive replacement if they're winning. So
they'll maneuver around, right, to where like Mookie goes to right field, and then like. But I was thinking too, like the fact that you have Kike and Chris Taylor for the whole year means there's going to be, I think, a lot of like late game. Well, we pinch hit for this guy, so 4 people have to make a position change in the next thing, you know, that kind of a thing. So I think it's definitely going to be lower. Yeah.
All righty. How has TJ McFarland looked this spring, and do you see him on the active roster for Korea?
I guess he's looked fine. Like, he's one of those like guys, like, I figure he might just eventually be up at some point. I can't say he hasn't really stood out. I don't believe there's been many like talking points about him from folks who were there. I don't remember him coming up in like morning scrum type stuff, whereas like literally Justin Wilson has. I think Dave Roberts mentioned him in the last couple days even. So I think Wilson's ahead of McFarland in the lefty non-roster pecking order. So I can't see him. Because they have to make – it's the 40-man issue. Like, you have to add him to the 40-man, which means someone has to go. And I think there's just – you know, it's Hudson and Wilson ahead of him. I know Hudson's a righty, but I just don't see it right now. I think if he – I don't know what his opt-out status is, like what his opt-out mm-hmm. dates are. But I would imagine he just starts the year in AAA.
Final question. I smoked ribs today for a family dinner. Real quick aside, I read this really quickly, and I just saw I smoked today.
You know what?
What?
When I copied the question, like I said, I don't read them, but sometimes I just happen to see a word or two.
Yeah.
And I had the same reaction. I was like, what?
Like, let's talk about cigars, boys.
That's right.
Smoking ribs today for family dinner, and that brought to mind Southern California chain rib restaurants. Did either of you ever go to Tony Roma's and or Love's Wood Pit Barbecue restaurant? And what do you remember if you did? And extra for Jacob, did the barbecue in Kansas City area make you rethink what you thought good barbecue is now?
We had Tony Roma's was a thing.
Oh, for sure.
But like, we didn't go a ton. And I had this weird thing. I don't know. I guess it was from a young age, and I probably still kept it. Ribs just seem too messy. Like, even as a kid, where you shouldn't really care about that. But it just seemed like a lot of work for like.
I think that's a better way to put it. It wasn't that it was messy.
Yeah.
It was it was work, and sometimes I got a bone, and. Tony Roma's, I don't remember going like, this is worth it, but I do remember the bread, and I just immediately, when I saw the word Tony Roma's, like, they had some sort of bread thing, and it was an onion roll, apparently.
Oh, man, that sounds
and,
good.
I can't even quite remember what it tasted like, but it's literally, like, connected to the words Tony Roma's, immediately just thought of eating bread. So
that's awesome.
And it was consistent enough that we didn't eat super often, but there was one in Santa Clarita at the time. So
yeah,
often enough that was a memory. So
that's funny, because like Outback was like probably, it wasn't so much around when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
maybe
mm-hmm.
It was more toward the college years and stuff.
Yeah, high school.
And it's
for
not
me.
Like it's not like I ate there a ton. But that's one of those things where, and it's not even like, that bread is the one that comes to mind for me. Like when I mean, obviously Outback has, I like their appetizers and all that kind of stuff, but the bread specifically was like, I really like that bread. And like, and for some, I wish I could remember. I don't have any memory of the Tony Roma's bread, but now I want to like go to one and see what it is, because it's been a while.
So
I have not been there in a long time.
I'll comment on the Kansas City thing. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not close.
Oh, yeah. Because
before it's like, barbecue is like fine-ish quality meat with really good sauce. That was like,
sure.
And good sides. And then you get to Kansas City, and it's just completely opposite. The other thing that I will say is that I've had good ribs prior to moving to Kansas City before, but they were very much in the vein of Texas style, low and slow, really melt off the bone kind of ribs, which I like, but I didn't ever loved. I could have like one or two ribs and I felt it was just too rich. Kansas City is much more in a sort of tender rib. And it's definitely much, I could have damn near a full rack of Joe's barbecue ribs. My favorite. Yeah. If I went. So the Royals play in LA this year, but next year, Eric, need to make it happen.
Yeah.
We'll take you to Joe's.
I will say this. I've been very conscious. I've had, I have full braces now. This last week I got the bottom row in. Weirdly, like it was 2 months after I got the top row in, but it just sort of worked out that way. And that those first like 2 months were an adjustment period, but it was like I think I was using like my bottom teeth to like compensate, and I was still being careful. But like, man, this last week has been a chore. Like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I really have to watch stuff. Like, what, you know, I'm not. That's not like I'm eating like super crunchy food or anything. But like, I'm very cognizant about like, oh, that's gonna be a pain. Like to eat. So, like the thought of having ribs, like it's probably gonna be great. But like, oh man, that's gonna be a lot of work with these teeth right now. So. I think it's, but like, you know, by next year I'll be a whole pro at it. So obviously I'm going to go and then we'll have them. But yeah, that's good. Well, you've also sent me stuff from.
That's true. I have.
Joe's.
It is Joe's. Yeah.
And I mean, it's always weird, right? It's, you know, frozen and sent via mail and it's still great. Like, you know, like because you've sent a few, you've sent like ribs. There's been ribs. There's been
the Z-Man sandwich kit for sure.
The Z-Man sandwich. Also, I believe brisket or maybe it was burnt ends.
Or probably burnt ends.
Yeah. And like those are like, you know, you're basically just reheating them and it's frozen, but it still is awesome. And like
to give you an idea how good it is, we'll do that sometimes. If we don't trust that we can get back from Kansas City, Lawrence in time, we'll just do the online way and pick it, either have it picked up or delivered. And yet it's still great. It is better there. It is better there.
Sure.
But the shipped Joe's death is better than it's still, you know, tier two, amongst a bunch of other stuff below that.
Man. Well, this is going to be a weird way to end it, but so you talked about how tender the ribs were. And falling off the bone and stuff, and getting back to Blake Trinan's lung injury, it made me think of other injuries that I just want to scream at because it sounds so painful. And one of the Hyunjin Ryu injuries with the Dodgers, where he tore his groin, but it was described as the muscle tore off the bone. And all I can think of is what I think about when ribs now.
Yeah. Which two teams are the Dodgers and Padres playing? I know they're playing the national team, but what professional teams are they playing?
I believe the Kaiwoom.
Kaiwoom Heroes?
I believe so. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Unfortunately, not the Eagles. That would have been fun. That would have been fun.
Oh.
Have Ryu do the first pitch or something.
If
it was the Eagles, he could actually pitch.
The Padres might be playing someone else. No, it's probably still Kaiwoom for both. But yeah, those are going to be some fun games too, I think. So, but yeah, that's basically next week we'll have one of those exhibition games to talk about. Plus, I'm sure like the roster stuff will be sort of resolved by then, so we'll have a lot more to talk about in terms of that. But yeah, we're basically at the end of the Arizona portion of spring training and. We'll have more to talk about next week, but that's the 3-Inning Save podcast. I'm Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. We had questions from Craig Manami, and our producer is Brian Salvatore. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you again in a few days.
Good one, Eric.